If you enjoy the Homeschool Made Simple podcast, it's time to attend one of our 2026 events. We'll be in Minnesota in March, then in August, we'll be in Tennessee and Texas. Plus, we have a summer webinar this June. Gain long-term vision and fresh encouragement for homeschooling by taking time away from everyday life to dive into learning more. Visit our website at homeschoolmadesimple.net/seminars to register and make plans to join us in 2026. A common misconception is that homeschooled children won't be prepared for the real world because they don't participate in the traditional world of school. However, rather than compartmentalizing learning to a classroom, homeschooling has the ability to break the mold and encourage a love of learning in every part of life. In today's episode, we hear the story of how homeschooling made a difference for Sienna DeMoss and prepared her for college and beyond. You're listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. This is a podcast to help you homeschool simply, inexpensively, and enjoyably. Carol Joy Side has been helping families homeschool for several decades now through her literature-based approach to education. In this episode from the archive, Carol talks with homeschool graduate Sienna DeMoss about her family's homeschool journey, her experience at college, and what advice Sienna would give to homeschool families. Before we get into the episode, if you're ready to jump in and learn more about the Homeschool Made Simple approach, we have a special resource for you. We've put together our basic teachings to create the HMS Essentials Bundle. In it, you'll learn how to set a solid foundation for homeschooling with a Bible, a library card, and a math program from kindergarten through 12th grade. And the more than 20 pages of book lists will point you toward the very best resources to develop your own creative curriculum. Visit our online store at homeschoolmadesimple.net/store or click the link in the show notes. And don't forget to use coupon code PODCAST at checkout to receive 15% off the HMS Essentials Bundle or any of our other bundles. Now let's get into the episode.
Well, this afternoon, I'm sitting across my computer screen interviewing a young lady that's been has come highly recommended to me. Her name is Sienna DeMoss, and she's from Franklin, Tennessee. Welcome, Sienna.
Hi, Carol. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm so honored.
Thank you. Well, I feel the same way. So, Sienna, tell us a little bit about yourself. You were raised in Franklin. Tell us about your education and kind of how you growing up, what was your education like?
Yeah, so I was raised in Franklin, born and raised in the South, in the Bible Belt, with my family, my parents, my two younger brothers, and my older sister. So ever since I can remember, I was homeschooled. My mom was probably reading me books while I was in the womb. Yeah, before I kind of jump into my journey homeschooling, I thought I would share a little bit of my mom's journey of her decision to homeschool because it hasn't always been like that for her.
Yes.
So my older sister, Carissa, there's a decent gap between us. So before I was born, Carissa went to private school and, you know, all the way through. But there was a point when she was in sixth grade when my mom was, I guess, just it was her mother's heart to know her daughter. And she realized that she didn't because she was gone all day, every day from, you know, 7 to 3. And she was like, you know what? My daughter's growing up and I have no clue who she is, what she's passionate about. What are her struggles? What are her strengths? So she decided to gather the teachers in the school for just this little teacher meeting to know about her daughter. So she sat down, she said, what's my daughter like? How is she doing in school? And the teachers, they smiled and they were polite, but they were very vague. And they didn't really provide what my mom longed for, is to know her daughter. They said, you know, she's really great. She's wonderful, doing amazing in her studies, awesome listener and all of that. But my mom, that kind of was a turning point for her, realizing I don't want this for the rest of my kids. Mm. So is there another way? Now, back then, homeschooling wasn't a huge thing. I mean, it was kind of out there. And at that point, they were in Franklin. So my mom started just praying through it, reaching out for community to see if there were any like-minded women homeschooling their children. And so just the Lord confirmed this calling of homeschooling for me and my two younger brothers all the way through. And so I'm really grateful that she really listened to her mother's heart and the Holy Spirit in her, guiding her to take a different route in education. So that's kind of where I come into the picture, where she's starting to just try everything with homeschooling. She's so excited, and my mom is super adventurous. So that's a plus in this homeschool journey. When I was little, I mean, from the start, and my dad was super supportive with all of it too, which is a gift. And they both chose to cultivate just this environment of learning. It's not just you sit down, you read the textbook, you take the test. It's a lifestyle. They believe that it's a formation of the entire individual, spiritually, socially, academically, of course, mentally, physically. So it covers every realm of life. And I'm very grateful for that, because it was a joyful process. It wasn't agonizing, and it didn't come, without its ups and downs or anything, or it did come with its ups and downs, but that's kind of the mindset that I was birthed into, the family culture I was birthed into. So my mom got her hands on a bunch of curriculum. She would attend your seminars. She would sometimes go out of state for homeschool conferences to just grab all the resources that she could. Mm-hmm. And one of the key things was building a literary environment. So having a library, really. And so she has all her bookshelves with her books. And that was, I would say, the foundational thing for me learning in homeschooling, and same with my brothers. And it's something that I've carried even to this day.
Yeah, I can imagine. So you've just graduated from college. So you graduated with kind of a double major, it sounds like, in fine arts and biblical studies. So that was my major, was fine arts. Tell me how you felt you navigated there at Liberty in Lynchburg, Virginia. How did it feel having been homeschooled, doing school on your mother's dining room table or wherever you did it, and now being in a really large university? How did you make that transition, and how did it feel for you?
Yeah, so I would say that when I was little, because I was homeschooled, that offered me a lot of opportunities that if I were in public school or private school, it wouldn't have given me. So for instance, our classroom was the world. We not only would study at home, we would study in the local deli, we'd eat lunch, and then, take a break, and then we'd, to do math or grammar. We would go on nature walks, we'd go to the museums, we would go take trips, we would go camping, learn how to build a fire, we would, all these different things. And I'm very blessed to say I've been to, I would say, over 40 of the 50 states, and probably over a dozen countries at this point. And so because I was homeschooled, we just spent all our energy in that. And we would save up, or we would get a job, or we'd learn, lemonade stands, and we'd save. Or my first job, was in a hotel, and I was, a front desk receptionist. So all of those things. So now I can see the world. I saw the world. We traveled across America. We went to all the different states, and it's always learning. Everything's a homeschool minute, which is fun. And sometimes as a little kid, it got a little bit annoying, because when we just wanted to play, my parents would say, "Oh, homeschool minute, wait a second. Here's a cotton field. Let's pull over and grab some cotton."
So homeschool minute, which is to say everything is a learning experience and opportunity.
Yes, it is. And so because I say all of that, because I was really exposed to all the different cultures, all the different states, and different ways to think, belief systems, all grounded in the faith in Christianity. And so we would use discernment as we are exposed to different things. And so I had that confidence there, and also just interacting with people. I mean, when we're driving, pulling over, we're on the train, we're on planes, we're on buses, we're on walks, we're just aware of our environment and aware of other people. And so instead of just doing our own thing, we interact with those around us. So I think going to college, going to Liberty University, where there are people from all different backgrounds, all different countries, even different beliefs. I just kind of felt this natural flow of, okay, wow, now we're just all in our 20s and figuring out what we want to study and pursue. What is the Lord calling us to? So it was almost like just a matured atmosphere of what I had already experienced growing up.
Yeah. You also went to Word of Life. Is that in Schroon Lake? Is that how
it
you
is?
Say it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Pottersville on Schroon Lake.
Mm-hmm. So that is going to a Bible college first. Probably on my gravestone, it will say, go to Bible college first. I want everyone to go. I usually recommend people go to Calvary Chapel Bible College in Southern California, and then they have international campuses all over. But what was your experience at Word of Life, and how did that prepare you to go to a major university?
I would say my time at Word of Life was the best and the hardest, most challenging year mm-hmm. of my life.
Mm.
And a little backstory with Word of Life, I had actually grown up going to their summer camps every year. So yeah. We would pack our bags in July, drive all the way up to New York, stay there for a whole week. They have different campgrounds depending on your age. My parents would stay at the inn, and mm-hmm. we loved it. And it's something we look forward to every single year. Yes. And as I got older, I decided to serve on staff there. Mm-hmm. I didn't know there was a Bible Institute, actually. I didn't know that it had been going on for quite a few years. And so I'm doing my first year working there. I did housekeeping. The second year I did photography. And then I had just graduated high school, and that summer I was in Word of Life, and I heard around, hey, there's this Bible Institute. You should really go, here's what it's like. And so the counselors of the camp had already done a year of the Bible Institute. So they kind of whispered in my ear, like, hey, you should check this out.
Yeah.
And honestly, I was at a point where I didn't foresee myself doing that at all. I was really into travel. I had the travel bug. All I wanted to do was go overseas and work or do missions or do something. And upstate New York is very small. It's beautiful in the Adirondacks, but it's very small. And when I learned that the campus only has 500 people, I was like, okay, this is not the place for me. I just want to branch out more. I want to see more of the world. I'm so young, yada, yada, yada. So at this point, I'm 17, almost 18. And the Lord, during one morning, just spoke to me saying, you should check out the BI, ask around, ask your friends, be a little more intentional, dig a little bit deeper, and just trust me. So I said, okay, Lord, I will, even though I don't want to. And the rest is history. I felt called to go there for the whole year and just study the Word of God. And it was an incredible experience. I was away from home, so I was more independent. At this time, my family had moved to Colorado, so they're out west, and I'm over here, different time zone, different weather, crazy weather over there. We get so much snow. And thankfully, I knew a few people on campus already just because I had been involved in the camps. So that was a gift, yes. Really. But it really caused me to examine my own faith, where I was at with the Lord. Do I really believe God is who he says he is? Do I believe his word? So I wrestled with a lot of things during that year. So I say it's the best year because I really found the Lord in an intimate and personal way, which enriched then every other aspect of my life. And it was challenging because it's not easy. You have to do hard work. You have to be introspective, really be honest with yourself. You have to be vulnerable with other people, have hard conversations. I had, RAs that I would talk to, leaders, deans. We'd have pastors come in and speak every week on a certain book of the Bible. And so it was challenging in that way, but I would say that I learned so much because I just chose to take the road less traveled, really. And in my mind, I had a plan, but the Lord had another plan, and it was so much better. And it changed me. It really changed me. And I'm not the same person anymore. Yeah. And the beautiful thing is I'm still growing every day in the newness that the Lord brings.
Mm. You know, if you can get that foundation in your life, and it, even going to a Christian school doesn't give you the foundation that going to a Bible college gives you, where you're just doing nothing but studying the Word of God. And that's why I just say to everyone, thus saith the Lord, you're going to Calvary Chapel Bible College, and then we'll talk about what's after that. Because I would trust you anywhere, anytime, once you've got that foundation. And Calvary's a two-year program, so you're studying from Genesis to Revelation, every word, every chapter, every verse.
Wonderful.
And then I feel like, okay, see, so that's what you've had. You've had that foundation, and then it just equips you and launches you. Now, I know your mom has told my assistant Rachel that you've been raised with my methods pretty much all your life. Is that right?
Yes, yes.
So tell me about your relationship with literature and some of the books that really impacted you, and how reading was kind of the foundation of your education.
Yes. So memories flood in right now of reading books in bed with popcorn and sippy cups. My mom, we're all just around her, and it was a night routine. She would read to us when we're little. We have the board books with the bright colors, the big words. And then as we get older, you know, we have thicker books, thinner pages, smaller fonts.
Chapter books.
Yes. And my dad would often read aloud to us too. Mm. We would listen to books on tape.
Yes.
And, you know, on road trips, we would listen to radio dramas. Adventures in Odyssey was huge for us growing up.
Yeah.
But I was raised with the classics, and my mom really worked hard to find, okay, what should I read to my children? What authors are good? What authors are not really the best?
Yes.
Your seminars. And so she just really wanted to have good literature for us, and not something that's just too easy, too shallow, doesn't have much meaning. So as I grew older and I got involved in co-ops and tutorials, it was normal to read about 18 books a year and write a paper on every other one. So really being just having a wide variety of all types of literature. We read novels, mysteries, poetry, Shakespeare. Like I think of Charles Dickens. I think of Agatha Christie. I think of, there's so many. There's all the, I love Jane Austen. Pride and Prejudice has a special place in my heart. I remember in seventh grade, I read it, and then we watched the movie, but we never would watch the movie first. Always the book.
Amen.
Preferably, yes, preferably a play and then the movie.
Bring music into your home this year in a fresh and exciting way. Our family recently got a piano, and our daughter began taking lessons with Vogtberg Music Academy. She has loved their proven step-by-step success path that lets them earn iron-on badges and cash prizes shipped to your home. Children learn to play music with their siblings or individually. These aren't your average online lessons. Students receive face-to-face feedback from their teachers, perform on student showcases, and have 24-hour access to their instructor. Learn to play piano, guitar, mandolin, ukulele, or violin and fiddle right in your own home. This month, use our code HOMESCHOOL20 and get 20% off every month you are enrolled at VogtbergMusicAcademy.com. Music should be for everyone, and learning has never been more efficient and fun. Visit VogtbergMusicAcademy.com or click the link in our show notes to start your own music lessons. Now let's get back to the episode.
So is there one author that's really impacted your life of literature, not obviously the Bible?
Yes, I would say C.S. Lewis. I know he's a favorite of many, but just reading Mere Christianity, recently The Problem of Pain, Grief Observed, all of those, Screwtape Letters, all of them have really impacted me, especially these past few years, because I read them when I was younger.
Yes.
But some things just didn't stick, because that's normal. I wasn't as mature. I hadn't grown in certain areas, especially in spirituality. And so now reading them again, it's like new colors are, you know, going off. And it's wonderful. Another one that I really love is watching in me, The Normal Christian Life.
Yes. It's
beautiful.
Yes.
And so I would say, especially C.S. Lewis, but there are so many others that have impacted me in wonderful ways.
I know. Yeah. If you were talking to a young family that are just thinking about, you know, should we homeschool? Are our kids going to work at McDonald's if we homeschool? Are they going to be clueless, useless, weird? Are they going to be misfits? What would you say from your own experience, and how would you recommend that they go forward? Where should they start?
Well, honestly, Carol, I would say having that literary-based environment of just reading. Because when you expose a child when they're young to reading, you're giving them worlds that they can discover under your wing as the parent. And so you can guide them through it. You can be discerning. You know your child better than anyone else. So you know what lights them up. You know what makes them hide under the covers. And so just nurturing that awe. Another thing is really appreciating the outdoors and nature. I think that's really key. And they seem simple, but they're foundational, really, at a young age. And so I think we should never undermine those things. I think there's beauty in slowness of life too, because we're so caught up in consumer culture and technology. And technology isn't bad, but the way that it's going is really detrimental towards kids and just their development as human beings, let alone students and friends and peers. So I would say there's like a big flashing light bulb in my head right now to share. We did not grow up with a TV. We just didn't. We didn't grow up with video games. And I am incredibly thankful for it. Yeah. And I think it's important to really fuel the kids' capacity to imagine things and to wonder and to have awe and a sense of, wow, like let's, you know, we see this, let's go after it. Let's be intentional. And, you know, whether it is on a nature walk and you see bugs under a rock, or you see trees, or you see an owl, or you see the sky or a rainbow, and you just allow them to be in awe, and you enter into that with them. And, you know, reading books like, oh, I wonder what this character is going to do next, or, you know, really exaggerate your voices when you're reading to them. To really love learning and appreciate art and the little things. And I would say to really limit screen time, because what entertainment does, and it's not bad, and I'm not bashing it, but especially for young eyes.
Yes.
It's important to encourage them to imagine. And there's this thing called boredom, which many people don't know about these days. I remember when, you know, I'm sitting around with my brothers and I'm like, what should we do? And it forces our mind. It stretches our mind to think of something that's unreality that can become a reality.
Wow.
Like, let's build a fort in the backyard. What materials are we going to use? Mm-hmm. You know, so many different things. Let's go catch some bugs, or let's go make a pillow fort, or let's cook something with mom. Like, what do we want to make? What kind of muffins? And so it forces us to think on our own. Whereas a lot of, you know, the internet is, it thinks for us, and we don't ever have to go through all the mental processes to figure out something. So those are a few things. I hope that's helpful.
Great. Oh, that's really helpful. Wow. Well, your mom, I know, told Rachel that we would be so blessed if we interviewed you, because she was so right, because you have completely, as we say, drunk the Kool-Aid of my philosophy. And so boredom, nature, literature, work, that it's so great to meet you. And I knew nothing about you until we started this interview. And so it's been fun for me to discover you and just see the fruit of this approach, which is not original to me. It's really Dr. Moore, Charlotte Mason, Susan Schaefer McCauley, kind of the different streams that influenced me. And now I'm seeing it in your generation, and you can give a defense for this approach even better than I can. It's just so fun. So very briefly, what are your plans now? You've just graduated. What's next?
Yeah. So I just graduated last month. And honestly, this has been a time to really enjoy a break with my family now that all of our schedules are less busy. Yes. So I'm here living at home. I am considering a few options for either the fall or the spring. Doing a lot of praying, a lot of just silence and solitude and stillness, because I feel like I've been kind of on a hamster wheel for a while. So I don't want to rush it. And the beautiful thing is I have peace, just kind of taking some time to breathe, reflect on what I've learned the past 4 years at the Bible Institute, as well as Liberty University.
Yeah.
And create space for the Lord to come in and just share whatever he wants to share. But an option for me is to get my master's at Liberty University with a master's in divinity. So I think I just reading the Word of God at the Bible Institute every single day, pouring into it. We read through it front to back, probably 3 times at least.
Wonderful.
I'm still hungry for more. And so that's something that I'd like to continue, is digging into the Word and teaching it to others. And and so that's something I'm considering at Liberty. And that would be possibly in the late fall or the spring next year.
Wonderful. Well, it is the ultimate. I know when my son was considering getting a PhD in art history, I think it was, at University of Virginia. And he realized, you know, really, there's nothing that I'm more passionate about that's more fulfilling than the study of God's word. Nothing usurps that in my heart. And so he wound up, you know, getting his master's and doctorate in that, in those areas. And it's just made such a difference, because once you study the word, you realize how little you know of it. And, you know, when you first study the word, you're like, yeah, I know the whole Bible, I'm great. But then every year that you walk with the Lord, you're like, actually, I know less and less and less. And
so the word
looks deeper and bigger and broader. And so I'm thrilled that you have a passion for God's word. It's the ultimate, as my son said back then when he was trying to decide what to do, it's the Uber course of study. There is nothing that equals it in richness and value, in longevity, you know, where you can just spend your life studying it and feel like you just started at day one.
You've been listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. If you like what you heard in this episode, please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or share this episode with a friend. It means so much when you help us spread the message of Homeschool Made Simple with others. Thanks for joining us this week on the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. Remember, Jesus' commandments are not burdensome. What he calls you to do, he will enable you to do. Blessings.